You know, here, John 14 would seem to be in the thinking of a Bible reading. You find that the Lord himself is the teacher. If we're to try and break it down, the first thing you'll see in the first four chapters, or verses rather, there is the preparation. Then you would come to the thought, in verses 6 to 12, there is the person. And then there is the promise. And then there is the peace. But one of the things that I like to zero in on is the thought of troubled hearts. You know, the problems of the world keeps many people from sleeping at night. It robs them of the laughter and sleep and everything else that would seem to go with it. And am I reminded of Boyd Nicholson Sr., and he was talking one time, and he said he was about to go to bed at night. There must have been about 11 or 12 at night. And the phone rang, and he says this was quite often the usual occasion. And it was a woman on the phone, and she says, "Mister, somebody has gave me your number." And she said, "I'm looking for help. And if you don't give me any help here tonight, I'm going to commit suicide in the morning." So Boyd Nicholson says that he put on his coat, rushed down to see her, and here was the woman that opened the door for him was one that hadn't slept for quite a while. Her eyes was red, and you could see that she was perplexed about the situations. And anyway, when Boyd Nicholson told her that what she needed was not rules and regulations from Washington. What she needed was a person. And he told her about the Lord Jesus Christ and the need for her to accept Christ as her own personal Savior, and it would solve most of her problems. So he told the woman to go to bed at night and, "I'll pray for you. My wife and I will pray, and I'll be back down in the morning and see if I can help you." He come back down in the morning, and he says it was like a different woman. And she says, "Mister, whatever you have said, I have believed." And he says, "It seems to be working." You see, here the Lord, he knew that his disciples were troubled. The Lord had told them that he was going away. They already knew something about the cross and him dying. There was also the problem that here, that one of the disciples, he told them, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." So Peter would be disturbed. He also knew that just before they came to the breaking of bread, they had been talking about who was the greatest. And then the Lord lays on to them this thought that he was going away. And he says, "I am the way." But before he goes with his anointed ministry, he leaves them with a heart's, what would you say, satisfaction to the hearts and to the perplexions that was there. And he points himself, the truth to himself. And he tells them that he's going to the Father's house. And he's going to prepare a place for them. And then where he was going, they couldn't come just now. But they would come later. Three times in the scripture it brings out the thought the Father's house. You'll find in Matthew 21 that it's talking about the Father's house. And that's where the Lord, he told the disciples, or he went into the temple, and he took a little whip and he drove out these merchants that had taken over the temple. And he says, you'll not make my Father's house a place of merchandise. So the first thing that we see is that the Father's house is a holy place. Then the next thing you'll find there that it's mentioned is the prodigal. He had came to himself and he wants to go back to his Father's house. And the next thing you find there, it is the singing and enjoyment. So you see that the Father's house is a happy place. It's holy and it's happy. And here in John 14, it's a home. Not a house, but a home. Some have said that there can be no home without a mother. But you know, you and I, the scriptures brings out that it's the place where the Father is, and it's holy, it's happy, and it's home. And he points himself to that. Some have suggested that heaven is a kingdom and it's ruled by a king. But it's a place where there'll be no national problems, because the king rules and he is omnipotent and he knows your thoughts even before you do it. And by that time, when we're caught up to heaven, will be changed into the likeness of the Son. Then we could say that heaven is a city, and you'll find in the scriptures it's there. And it's inhabited by heavenly people. So we see that there'll be no social problems. Then it's a house where dwells the children of God, and they'll be secure in the love of the Father. You know, this is the Bible reading, as I said, and there are three questions that comes out. The first one was Thomas. And he says, where are you going? Lord says, well, you already know. He told them that they knew where he was going. But Thomas says, you'll find it in verse 5. We don't know. And how can we know the way if we don't know where you're going? You see, when we look at this, and the Lord had already told them in chapter 13, verses 31 to 32, that he was going to be glorified and he was getting caught up to glory. And you and I, when we look at the stars and the moon and the sun and all that's there, surely we can understand Thomas's question. We must be in agreement with the words that is found in 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But you know, we know that if heaven itself or the Father's house is in heaven, and it always seems to be up, we have to look up. But the Lord gives us hope. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank God for that hope. You know, when you look at Adam, he wasn't left with a hope of a place to go and into the Father's house. Adam wasn't left with that hope. For when Adam sinned, he was hunted out of the garden. And then there was the cherubims with the flaming sword. He couldn't go back. The way back into paradise was closed. Then what could we say about Noah? He did not have that chance that there was a place and a way to go unto the Father's house. When he went into the ark, the door was closed by God himself. I've often wondered at that. When you think of all the people that would be trying and scratching and holding on to the ark, I'm sure that Noah's desire was to open the door. But the Bible tells us God closed the door. And there was no way back. There was only with the one chance. What about the children in the wilderness? When they looked at Mount Sinai and the thundering and the lightning. And God told them that not to touch the mountain or they would die. There was no way back for them, no way. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There seems to be a little hope when we look at the tabernacle. For there you see a door, and the door was wide open. But the minute a man went in, he saw the brazen altar. And the words from the brazen altar was with saying, not without blood. You see, the way was stopped again. And before you could pass the brazen altar, you had to have blood, and it had to have been satisfying unto God. We just heard this morning about the Passover lamb. How that it had a place where there was no, it had no blemish or no spot, Peter says. The spot would be outwardly and the blemish would be inwardly. And when a man offered his sacrifice, it was slit open. And its inward was seen and searched to see that it was without a spot, in order to fit the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing that you see when you went into the tabernacle would be the laver. And it would be saying, there's a way, but you have to be clean. You see, that's the same for you and I. Yes, we're priests. We're holy priests and royal priests. And we can come into the Holy of Holies in the morning meeting. But the one thing that is required is that we're clean. And we cleanse ourselves by reading the Word of God before we go in. For the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, lest you die. How serious is it to be clean? Lest you die opens up our eyes. Then the next thing that we would see would be the veil. And it would be seen to say there's a way unto God. But the scripture says that it's once a year. And only for certain people, the high priest. And he had to have blood on his hands and incense. Sometimes we think that he went in only once into the Holy of Holies, but he went in twice, or even three times, some would say. He went in the first time with incense, and that made a cloud. And it would separate him from the Ark of the Covenant, where God sat. And the Bible tells us that no man can look upon God and live. and it would speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in his mediatorial work for you and I. He comes in between, and that smoke would separate him from looking on the person of God. And then he come back out, and he went in with blood in his hands, and he sprinkled the blood 7 times before the mercy seat. And if you look at the word of God, you'll find that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the sacrifice, does 7 things for you and I. One of the things is it cleanses us and it makes us acceptable unto God because of the value of his Son. There was a way of life when Christ said, "I am the way." There's a way. He was the way out of the life of sin. Just as I said about that that married woman she was, when she accepted Christ as a Savior, it changed her life. And she knew that there was truth. Christ is the way into the Father's house. For he was saying, "I go to the Father, and I will come back and I'll take you into the Father's presence," and that would be at the rapture. Christ is the way into heaven itself. Christ, I would suggest to you, that brings out that he is the only way into the presence of God. He is the living way. He is in there, and because of the work that he has done and is doing for you and I as a high priest, we are accepted in him. You know, I've often brought out the truth about the young boy that was at Buckingham Palace, a little beggar, and he'd been trying to get in and see the Queen or the Sovereign, and he'd get stopped by the policeman. Usually the guard is just there for ceremonial service, but beside him usually is a policeman. And I've been there myself, and quite often when the children come from school, they'll slip behind you and try and knock the rifle out of your hand, so as that when you would maybe bend down and pick up the rifle, there would be somebody taking a photo. And it would be in the news in the morning. But the policeman was there, and he would go forward and he would pick the rifle up and put it back into your hand. Now, the last time I was there, we used to be in front of the gates of the wrought iron fence. But now the guard is away at the back, near the building itself. But anyway, this little boy, he gets stopped all the time. And then I've said before, this man came and what he saw was a cane with a silver tip, black shiny shoes, trousers that were stripped, and a voice saying, "What's wrong, son?" "Oh," he says, "I wanted to go in and see the Queen, and every time I try it, I'm stopped." He said, "Take my hand." There he took this gentleman's hand, and he walked in past the guard, and the guard saluted. The policeman he saluted too. Go right in past the footman and all the people that's there, right into the very presence of the Queen. You see, because he was holding the hand of the Son, the Duke of Windsor, him that abdicated from the throne. You see, he was a little boy who was accepted in him. So Christ is the only way. You know, people today, and they're looking at the scriptures and their manipulation, They'll tell you that there's different ways and different things. It's a time of false doctrine. You know, one of the thoughts there that I came across last week was the thought that when it says that all men will be caught up. And they say, well, it's all types of men. And it's not just all men, but all types of men. When the scripture says all, it means all. But you know, they're finding and trying to bring out these truths that would take away the truth of the word of God. Christ is the only way, the living way, the true way. You know, when we look at Adam, we see that Adam had three unique blessings. He had access to God. He could go and speak to God. And God could speak to him. Then he had the knowledge of God. For God told them about his holiness and about the sacrifice. And he knew something about God. And then he had the very life of God. But when he sinned, it changed the whole picture. For you find there that the way was barred. He was hunted out the garden of paradise. And as we said, there was the angels and the flaming sword, and there was no way back. Then there was the blinded mind. The knowledge that he had of God was interrupted because he knew and had partake of the fruit of the good and evil. So he had a blinded knowledge. And then he had a bound spirit.